Hello to everybody in the Coolaverse, and welcome to CoolaCast. I'm Anastasia Allison. I'm the founder of CoolaCloth, and I'm the host of the show. Each week, we'll dive deep and investigate the habits and stories of adventure-inspired individuals around the world to inspire you to go from stuck to summit in every area of your life. Welcome to episode 2 of CoolaCast. Today, I am so thrilled to have the opportunity to introduce my friend and the creative director for CoolaCloth, Amanda McIntyre. Amanda and I met through a serendipitous series of events on Instagram, and she is probably better known to most of you as Koi Cat Creative. She is the artist who designed our unicorn print, our fox print, and all of our beautiful custom prints. Amanda is an award-winning artist and designer, and also has recently illustrated a children's book. She is one of the kindest, most genuine, loving, loyal, hardworking people that I know, and I just feel so fortunate that we get the chance to work together. And I'm really excited to share her answers to the 4 questions of CoolaCast and throw in a curveball at the end for her. So without further ado, let's get to the show. Welcome to the show, Amanda. I'm excited you're here.
Thank you for having me, Anastasia.
So we're going to jump right in with our 4 questions. And you're really, other than myself, you're my first sort of victim on CoolaCast. So thanks for being brave. Okay, so question number 1, what initially drew you to a love of the outdoors and adventure?
So for me, this question was really interesting because I actually grew up in a place that didn't really have a lot of pretty outdoor surroundings. I grew up in Garfield, New Jersey, like 15 miles from New York City, and I had a factory in my backyard. And like you could touch the wall kind of deal. Like the factory was a physical presence and there were smokestacks. And so lucky for me though, like we had an aunt that lived in Vermont and we would visit every year up until like high school. And that was the introduction to the outdoors, was going to Vermont. We would stay in with my family, these little hunter cabins. And it was rough and cold, but amazing. And we stayed on Otter Creek and there was a dock. And I remember, like, I have like these vivid memories in my head, and I might've been 10, of like sitting on the dock and like the mist rising up off the creek. And there were kayaks, and that's something I didn't have back at home. And we did this once a year, peak fall season, and that was my Disney World as a kid. Like, we didn't do Disney. We went to Vermont. And I actually also owe a lot of it to my mom. So she was the one who inspired me and my brother to appreciate the outdoors. She would take us on hikes, and she's probably to this day the most attentive person. She doesn't just hike to like get an exercise. She stops and she's like, "Oh, Amanda, did you hear that bird? Or do you see these mushrooms?" And she would tell me like, "Amanda, take your hand and cup them over your ears and just stand here and listen." And you can hear the peepers. And it's like the whole forest is amplified through cupping your ears. So she's the one that taught me to like look at the tiny details and everything. And I should tell her that more, because I don't even think she knows how much she's influenced me. And through her choices to take us to Vermont, my family, we wouldn't have had that experience if it wasn't for her initiative. So
I think we're going to have an entire podcast full of people now who are going to go outside and cup their ears, because
that's fantastic. They do. It is seriously like amazing.
I've never done that.
You'll have to do it next time. And I mean, even if I'm doing it right now, it amplifies it. Especially like summertime, we get like the peepers and the frogs outside. And all of a sudden it feels like you're just surrounded by these miniature croaking frogs and you get lost. It's incredible. But those small things that even if after work you go for a walk and you cup your ears, but that's all you have time for. It makes you feel, I don't know, in touch and just kind of, you get lost in it and you're amazed at what's out there. So from a girl in Garfield to Vermont, that was my entrance into like loving all things outdoors. That stuck with me my entire life.
I love it. That is just so special and unexpected for me to hear. And we've been friends for, I don't know, probably over a year now. And it's just really fascinating to find that out, because I look at you and I look at your paintings and I just, how you capture the detail in the wilderness is so profound. And so I think I just sort of automatically assumed this is a person who has grown up with this, you know, surrounded by the wilderness all the time. And I think it was sort of in being not growing up, you know, growing up with a factory in your backyard that gave you the ability to find all the specialness in those little details.
It did for me. And like getting lost in books and illustrators, and specifically like as a kid, Beatrix Potter. And so I found ways to get lost. Once I knew what I loved, I knew ways to escape and get lost in it. And I mean, I really only had groundhogs and squirrels and Garfield. It's like, that's fine. You, it's all about seeing what's around you, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff everywhere. And if you pay attention to it, you'll find it.
I love it. Okay, question two. Why do you continue to include wild spaces in your life experience?
Because it grounds me. And I'll keep going back to like my mom taking us for hikes. It's something like, I always had anxiety. And she's like, no, a walk in the woods is like, it's healing. It has this healing power that like, for me, that's what makes me feel better. And whatever worries I have, they go away. Like, you look up at the trees and the wind is swaying the branches and you realize, I start kind of getting lost in thoughts of feeling like how kind of insignificant I am and how small and how my whatever it is I'm worrying about, really, it's like, will it matter tomorrow or 5 days from now? Or will it matter a year from now? I try to really ground myself in what really matters. It helps me focus on what matters again.
Yeah.
And now that I have my son, I hope so much that like, and we take him on hikes. We try to go most weekends just for something small. And I can see the effect it has on him. Like if he's having a day where he's just tantruming and on the floor, it's like, let's go outside. Let's go for a walk. And I hope that in his life, he can find that the healing power in being outside.
Yeah.
And I think it's something, if you know that early on, to have that escape so you don't escape towards something that's not good for you, I think that's something I look for, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, question three. How do you give back to wild spaces?
In simple ways, picking up trash. It's something that, again, goes back to my mother. She would bring a garbage bag with her sometimes on hikes. And then you just pick up what's around you and you hike it out. We haven't seen that much trash on trails lately, thankfully. Where I do see it a lot is my toddlers, like even like local parks, like some of the local parks have woods and like there's like Kit Kat wrappers and stuff. I want to pick them up for a few reasons. One, because it's gross, I'll throw in the trash, and two, because my son wants to go eat it. So I've got like even more incentive now to be like, can we not? This is disgusting, because he will look at me and I'm like, don't put that in your mouth. It's like, this is why. It's like, there's a trash can, there's a place, a receptacle to put this stuff. So it is about, and teaching him now, like there's so much learning that I'm trying to pass down through this little person that I hope he can be someone that inspires others through my actions and then his actions to kind of keep the spaces that we go to visit better than how we arrived.
Yeah.
But that's what cool is all about.
Yeah. And I love too that it can be small things. It doesn't have to be something huge, but I think that the cumulative effect of a lot of people doing small things is of course something much bigger. And
it's a domino effect. And I see people on Instagram and I think it's wonderful. There's a few that I can name on one hand where it's just, they're going out and picking up trash. And they're doing it with children. And I feel like the more people see that, the more people will get involved. every day. And so you can make, by doing something small, you can make big changes.
Yeah. I think in the last question, you mentioned that the wilderness helps you focus on what really matters. And I think that sort of ties into this question, is that in order to make change, not only in the wilderness, but in our lives, if we can shift our focus to what we want instead of what we don't want, then we are inspired to actions that will cultivate what we're trying to create in our lives.
Yes, exactly. And that's something that you bring up consistently, because it's something that I know is close to your heart, is trying to focus on the positive. And it's definitely influenced me and how I think, because I definitely, like, when you, and I know a lot of people do, when you have anxiety, you can find yourself like thinking more negative thoughts than positive thoughts. And it takes everyday willpower to kind of be like, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not allowing it to live there. And I'm going to refocus and redirect to how I want to feel and how I want things to turn out. And getting outside has been the way to refocus that, those thoughts.
Well, I think there's such a power. And in fact, one of the things that I've worked on with my coaching clients is this, I used to call it the three R's, I think. And it was sort of recognize that you're in this negative thought pattern, and then reconnect with yourself, which usually means through some sort of a meditation or going outside or just doing something that's getting you off of whatever topic you're sort of in this downward spiral on. And then the third thing is sort of redirecting it. So how can you take what you're focused on and pivot in a different direction to get focused on what you do want? Because as most people will know, if you're focused on what you don't want, it just seems to get worse and worse and more chaotic.
Yeah.
But the better it gets, the better it gets. And so if you can just get a tiny little fingernail hold on something that feels good, even if it's just a little better than where you are, you can change everything about a situation.
Everything. And it's the gratefulness, too, for what you have in your current situation. When you start breaking it down and you realize how much you have, and then you're reigniting those positive thoughts and saying, I have this, and it's just the best way to catapult forward.
I love it. Okay, question four. No, this is not the curveball. Don't worry.
Okay.
You get one more question before the curveball. So question four is, what have you learned from your experiences that you want to share with others?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So basically, I had this like epiphany. This was a few years ago. It might have been 6 years ago. Time flies. Kevin and I, my now husband, we were on a hike. And, you know, sometimes when you're hiking, you talk with the person you're with, or sometimes you just go quiet and you get lost in your thoughts. And I was just kind of staring down at my feet and just staring at the rocks and not really looking up. And at one point, you know, you have to look up. I looked up, and I'm like, wow, like the lighting was beautiful and the light was coming through the trees was absolutely amazing. And I thought, well, isn't that a lot like life? Like we're constantly like looking down and saying like, well, I've got this hurdle ahead and this rock to go over, and we're not stopping and we're not looking behind to see how far we've come. And sometimes we're not even looking ahead to see like what's in front of us and what's around us. So I guess that would be my advice, is to like sometimes stop where you are and try to see what's really around you. And that's where like going outside allows you to do that and revisit that space in your head to see where it is you want to go and how with even the tiniest steps you can get there.
Yeah.
And to not allow, my advice is like, some people can put their doubts on you, but I've noticed like with myself, it's a lot of self-doubt from myself and like my head talking. I can be my own worst critic for sure. And my husband's always the one that's like, are you kidding? He's like, no, like he's my biggest cheerleader, and he always has been. And I don't know what I'd do without him, but it's like, keep the people that motivate you close by and just take a break for yourself in a moment to realize where you are and see how far you've come.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, are you ready for the last question, Amanda? I have a really special one for you that just felt so fitting knowing your personality.
Okay, I think I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay. Here's our curveball question for Amanda. And I just want to paint the picture that Amanda is this just beautiful, delicate. You look at Amanda and she is one of those people that is just instantly visibly kind. So I'm just sort of setting the stage for this question. Okay.
Thank you.
Amanda, if you were forced into gladiatorial combat, but could only choose a weapon that isn't typically considered a weapon, what non-conventional weapon would you choose?
What non-conventional weapon would I choose?
Yeah.
Oh my.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know. I always thought, like, it's technically still a weapon, but I thought it would always be cool to do nunchucks. It would, though. That's where my first thought goes. It's a collector. That's amazing. Nunchucks.
Nunchucks. Okay, so I can totally see you out there whipping around a pair of nunchucks.
Yeah, whacking myself in the head because I'm athletic like that.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for just speaking with us. I mean, even me just sitting here hearing you talk, I don't know, I just feel so inspired to go outside and notice the little things and cup my ears. Yeah, these are just tiny things, but I think everything that you hit on in the interview really is sort of distilled down into this idea of just being like finding presence in the moment and really recognizing where you are and seeing yourself as maybe a tiny but important part of this bigger picture of life. And I think that that's really magical. Like, what a gift to give to somebody else, a moment where they can recognize that they're a part of something really special.
Yeah, it's those little moments and it's how they all accumulate.
I love it. Well, thanks, Amanda.
Thank you so much, Anastasia. This was fun.
If you want to learn more about Amanda and see more of her art, you can find her on Instagram at Koi Cat Creative. That's KOICAT and then the word creative. Her website is koicat.com. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to talking with you all soon.